I'm not young anymore, and I'm not going to try to be. I'm never going to be one of those pastors who puts on skinny jeans and gets my hair spiked and gets a cool tattoo and pretend that I'm 30 years younger than I actually am. That isn't who I am. I used to be young. When I was young, the very hip word that we all used was cool. I was born just a little too late for the groovy phase. The words, they seem to always be changing, because the next hip word after cool was awesome. God is so awesome, and man, is pizza so awesome. Then there was this divide between genders. The girls started using the word like. They used it like all the time. Like you couldn't even like finish a sentence without like saying like 1,000 times. And the guys started using the word dude. And I like that word. It's an all-in-one word because it can express so many things. I mean, you can express a greeting, dude. You could use it to express sadness. Dude. You could use it to express anger. Dude! Or you could think, you know, if something's really cool, you could say, dude. It's an all-in-one word. It's a great word. But about 20 years ago, the word morphed again, and it was made popular in a movie named Clueless, and all of a sudden, young people started saying, and they still do today, by the way, whatever. And you know what that means. It means nothing really matters. You believe your way, I believe my way, whatever. And nothing really matters, unless you're a Christian. For the Christian, whatever means that everything matters. So I want to explore in this series, whatever. We're taking a break on our Philippians series. We're going to pick that back up in May. But I want to explore what it means to live differently by pursuing a whatever life. So we're going to talk about whatever we say, whatever we think, whatever our circumstances. But especially, we're going to talk about whatever we do. Lindsay read this verse at the beginning of our worship service. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Because if Jesus is Lord of all, and He is, and if He's Lord over everything, then Jesus is Lord over anything. In other words, there is nothing that escapes the filter of faith if you are a follower of Jesus. Look up at this picture on the screen. Probably only the most hardcore NFL fan is going to be able to recognize this fellow. Just because I'm curious, anybody know who this is without me saying it? Who is it, Lindsay?
Kenny.
Oh. When I think of hardcore NFL fan. This is Joe Thomas. He was a lineman for the Cleveland Browns. And the reason you don't really recognize him is twofold. Number one, he's an offensive lineman. And number two, he plays for the Cleveland Browns. Last October, he got a standing ovation because he got hurt. And for the first time in 10,363 plays, he was off the field. Ever since he was drafted in 2007, he showed up. Now, understand, he never played in a playoff game. He never played on a winning team. He never even played in a significant game at the end of a season because the Browns were always out by October. But he showed up for 10,363 plays, and he played as one of the best players in the NFL. He said, when I put on that jersey, I represent my teammates, I represent the Browns organization, and I represent the city of Cleveland, and they're going to get my best no matter what the score may be. You see, you never get to take off your jersey if you put on the Jesus jersey. So, whatever means that I represent Christ wherever I am, whoever I am with, however I can. Because when Jesus issues the invitation to be his disciple, he never gives a part-time offer. It is always 24/7. Jesus never does what we do, where we divide the secular and the sacred. Jesus never says, you've got to wear that jersey then because that's sacred, but over there, you can take it off. That's secular. Jesus says, be all in. You might remember several years ago when the Obamas were in the White House, a man jumped over the fence and he ran across the White House lawn and got into the White House all the way to the green room before he was tackled and stopped by an off-duty Secret Service agent. And that agent later said, when it is your job to protect the President of the United States, you are never off duty. And when it is your life mission to represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you are never off duty. You live your life by a fixed purpose to know Christ and to make Christ known. What that means is the jersey never comes off. So continuing with this thought, I want to go to the third chapter of Colossians where Paul addresses what it actually means to live differently. And then I want you to notice a paragraph that Paul writes in the third chapter, beginning in the 15th verse. If you want to follow along in your own Bible, it reads this way. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Because if he is Lord of all, and he is, then it is all to be done in his name. So look at how the New Living Translation renders that very last verse, verse 17. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Has anybody ever done something in your name that dishonored you? Maybe they gave you credit for something that you did not want credit for. Maybe they blamed you for something and it wasn't fair that they were blaming you for this thing. Maybe they took something that you said and they misused it. That happens to me all the time. People take a statement of mine out of context and they will use it in a way that suggests that I endorse something or condone something that I would never want to be associated with. Think that ever happens to Jesus? Do you think that Jesus ever thinks, stop wearing my name if you're going to be doing that? In Broussard, Louisiana, there is a place called Michael's Gentleman's Club. Now let me say this right from the get-go. If you patronize a place that objectifies women, you are many things, but a gentleman, you are not. And it makes me sick to think that even though it is all the way across the country, that there is this place that has my name attached to it. I don't like the idea one bit of my name being attached to such a place that is so profane. You carry the name of Jesus with you. Wherever you are, whoever you're with, whatever you're doing. And that means that you need to live intentionally. You need to live differently. And so what must we do to become the kind of people who are going to honor Christ? Whatever we do. Right in the paragraph that I read from the third chapter of Colossians, Paul gives us three different keys, and here is the first. Whatever requires a diet of word and worship. Because the whatever life is, it's exhilarating, but it is exhausting. The never take that jersey off kind of life requires a whole lot of fuel. And you don't have the spiritual energy to honor Christ, whatever you do, if you only snack on his teachings and dabble in his worship. Look at verse 16 from Colossians 3 again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. In other words, if you are going to represent Christ, you're going to do it poorly if his praise and his words are not in you richly. That's one reason why when you talk to people about following Jesus, you tell them there are certain disciplines, there are certain steps that they need to take. And the very first one is that you need to worship regularly. That includes being in church every week. You know, listen to me, technology is amazing, it's awesome. The messages that I preach go up online, and sometimes they're viewed by people all around the world. I've received emails that blow my mind away. That's an amazing thing. But watching a sermon online is not a substitute for coming to church. It is a supplement, not a substitute. Because when you aren't gathered together with brothers and sisters, you miss the manifest presence of God. You can't be a blessing, and you can't receive a blessing. So it's very important to worship regularly, but you need to connect with God through praying and reading your Bible every single day. And when we are filling our hearts up with God's word and with God's worship, then we increase the capacity of the Holy Spirit to energize our lives. Let me illustrate it this way. As a kid, maybe you did this too, I loved to stack dominoes up in a row, push them over, and watch them go. But back in 1983, there was a researcher that wrote an article about this called The Domino Chain Effect. And this is what the article is about. It was that there's a difference between linear progression and geometric progression. Linear progression is 2 plus 2 equals 4. Geometric progression, 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 4 is 16. Geometric growth is so much greater. Well, listen to this. A domino that is 2 inches high, when knocked over, can knock over a 3-inch domino. That's 50% bigger. And then that domino can knock over a domino that's 4.5 inches high. So by the time you get to the 19th domino, you can knock over the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Well, you say, so what? It's already leaning. By the 23rd domino, you can knock over the Eiffel Tower. And by the 29th domino, you could knock over the Empire State Building. Let me tell you something about faith. Faith is not linear. Faith is geometric. And when I consider the people that I know that have become spiritual warriors and everything they do honors Jesus, how is that? It's because every day they were in the Word, just talking to God. Every day in the Word, praying to God, praising God. And their faith did not grow linearly. It grew geometrically. So get started. Make that your habit. Make it a way of your life, your discipline. And if you've never done that before, start today. Here's the truth. You know that we are going to be in the presence of God with word and worship when we go to heaven. We're going to hear the words of Jesus. We're going to hear the praise of Jesus. Now think with me. If we know that we are going to be in the presence of word and worship forever, then shouldn't we try to be in the presence of word and worship whenever we can, right now? Because that will give fuel to whatever you do. And it will make you grateful whatever you are going through. Because whatever requires a commitment to thankfulness. And this is so important. Notice in just one little paragraph, three sentences, Paul says three different times. Be thankful with gratitude. Give thanks. Now, I'm not a brilliant scholar, but if in three sentences Paul says you need to be a thankful people, that must have something to do with this component of living a whatever kind of life. It isn't wise counsel, by the way. It is counsel that will help you stay wise. It will literally affect your brain. One of the first things you learn in neuroscience is that what fires together, wires together. We have in our brain these synapses. That's actually how we think. And between them, there's the synaptic cleft. And when you have a thought, that synapse fires a chemical to the other synapse so that it sends this electric charge that takes that thought in your brain. And your brain starts to figure out the things that you think a lot. And those synapses then start to grow closer together for those things that you keep thinking. In other words, the more that you think negative thoughts, the more that your brain will align itself and wire itself to help you think negative thoughts. In fact, your brain will just start to randomly have negative thoughts because you've taught your brain to do that. So if you're a person who's always complaining, always griping, or if you're in the presence of someone who's always complaining, or if you like to spend hours in front of a television show where people are always complaining or whining, then you're teaching your brain to think negatively. So way before neuroscience, the Bible actually said, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." That's why we're told to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Whatever you do, you have to understand that means whatever you are doing, it really works. You don't have to be thankful for everything, but you can be thankful in everything. Because we are a people energized by the Spirit, that means that we get to choose our response to people and our response to circumstances, because we know that our God is with us whatever. Paul wrote to the little church in Thessalonica. He said, "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." And one reason I think God wants us to do this is because when God's saved children thank, it causes God's lost children to think. God is always thinking about his lost kids. Best word in the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever..." God is always thinking about whoever. And I can tell you, after 25 years in ministry, I have yet to meet the first person who said, "You know, I know someone who's a Christian, and all they do is fuss and gripe and moan and complain, and that's why I found Jesus." No. Wherever you are, there is a whoever who needs Jesus. And that's why whatever people are thinking about him. See, whatever requires a focus on relationships. The text that we've been reading out of Colossians chapter 3, it's written to a church. Paul is not writing to an individual. He's writing to a community of faith. He's just assuming and expecting that the people that are hearing this read are actually doing their lives together. You cannot do the whatever life as a loner. The whatever life is not a solitary life. It is a life lived in solidarity with other followers of Jesus. That's why I desperately want you to be involved in a small group. There is a small group for you. We have small groups on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And this whole series was created with doing this in mind so that we can connect more than just sitting next to somebody on a Sunday morning, but we're going deeper with each other, and we're doing that in homes. You see, the real test of the whatever life is when you're in the presence of someone that makes you want to take that jersey off. Years ago, a U.S. air flight in Fort Lauderdale made a wrong turn on the taxiway, and they came nose to nose with a United Airlines flight. And the ground controller, who was a woman, just lashed out at that U.S. air crew, and she screamed over the radio, "U.S. Air 2771, where are you going? I told you to turn right on Charlie Taxiway, and you turn left on Delta. Stop right there. I know it's difficult to tell the difference between a C and a D, but you need to get this right." She continued this lashing out over the air. "You screwed everything up. It's going to take forever to sort this out. You stay right there, and you do not move until I tell you. You can expect instructions in about half an hour. And I want you to go exactly where I tell you, when I tell you, how I tell you. Do you copy U.S. Air 2771? There was this awkward silence, and finally the pilot spoke. "Wasn't I married to you once?" I think it's very significant that right after the Apostle Paul says the things that he says, whatever you do, do it in Jesus' name, the very next thing that he does in Colossians 3 is he talks about the two areas where this is going to be tested the most, home and work. So look with me at Colossians 3, beginning in the 18th verse. Paul continues and he says, "Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, don't embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." Here's the thing. Who you really are is going to show up at home and at work. Anybody can wear a jersey for Jesus on a Sunday morning at church. But Jesus wants his followers to make wherever they are a sanctuary. The boardroom, the bedroom, the classroom. There is a whoever, wherever we are. And that's why whatever we do matters. We live our lives by a fixed purpose to know Christ and to make Christ known. It is literally an on-purpose life. You see, my what depends on knowing my why. Your what should I do is built on the foundation of why do I do it. We ask the wrong questions so often. We ask what questions. What's the limit for how much I can drink? What's the limit of acceptable nudity in a movie? What's the boundary for sin for me? That's the wrong question. Start with your why. Your purpose is to know Christ and to make Christ known. Your purpose is to have the name of Christ on you and for Christ to be proud to be associated with you wherever you are, whatever you do. Because if Jesus is my why, and Jesus is Lord of all, and He is, then what part of my life is not influenced by my why? And the result is I live differently. Dr. Kent Bradley is a man that is driven by his why. He trained in medicine and he went to Liberia to work with some of the poorest people on planet Earth. He did so through the ministry of Samaritan's Purse. And then there was the Ebola virus breakout. And at that time, the Ebola virus, if it was contracted, it was a death sentence. And Dr. Brantley contracted that virus. He was brought back into the United States with quite a bit of controversy, by the way, to try out a new drug. And he recovered from the Ebola virus. And that is where Dr. Brantley's story stopped, it seems, in the media. But most people don't know that Dr. Brantley is back in medicine, and he's in Texas, and he is working with some of the poorest people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He works a lot with young mothers who wonder whether or not they should keep their baby. He's in a different where, but his why hasn't changed. Whatever he does, he keeps his jersey on. He went to Africa because of the jersey. When they only had a little bit of medicine left that might save his own life, he said, give it to the other people first because of his jersey. And what he does right now is because of his jersey. I can tell you that if he had died, and he thought for a long time that's exactly what was going to happen to him, he had decided, I'm going to die to the glory of Jesus. I love the young mom that put over her kitchen sink the sign that read, worship services held here 3 times daily. Because when you know your why, whatever you do is worship. You understand, you represent Christ just as much as I do, right? It doesn't matter whether you grade roads or grade papers. It doesn't matter whether you give shots to kids or whether or not you coach kids. It doesn't matter whether you change oil or change diapers. If you follow Jesus, your what is worship. So, dear friends, this week, wear your jersey, whatever you do.